Jeremiah 37. In chapter 37, we return to the days of Zedekiah, who reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. His evil character is described in a few words, and yet he sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now unto the Lord for us." Jeremiah, we are told, was still at liberty. They had not yet put him in prison. Probably Jeremiah did pray for them, but he had not much encouragement. The Lord Jesus Christ said he prayed for those that the Father had given him, but not for the world. And if Israelites break the covenant of God and do not even keep covenant with men in the things of the world, how can they expect the intercession of prophets or of Messiah himself? There were high hopes entertained among the people of Jerusalem that there would be deliverance from Egypt, but God told Jeremiah to warn the king and the people that all these hopes were vain. "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall he say to the king of Judah that sent you to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land, and the Chaldeans shall come again." They had temporarily raised the siege. "And fight against this city, and take it, and burn it with fire. Though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up, every man in his tent, and burn this city with fire." When the Chaldeans broke up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, Jeremiah saw a chance of escape from the condemned city. "Then went Jeremiah forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin, to separate himself thence in the midst of the people." But there was an enemy there who apparently saw a chance of paying off old scores. When he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. He laid hold on Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans." If this was the Hananiah who met his death in the fourth year of Zedekiah by the sentence of Jeremiah in the name of the Lord, because he taught rebellion against the Lord, we can understand how Irijah would rejoice that his enemy was now in his hands. Irijah brought the prophet to the princes, who gave judgment against him, and he was imprisoned in the house of Jonathan the scribe many days. But the king was still very uneasy about it all. He sent and took him out and asked him secretly in his house, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is. For," said he, "thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." And he asked Zedekiah what was the offense for which he was imprisoned. "Where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land?" And he besought the king not to give him over to death in the prison. So Zedekiah gave the prophet some respite, committing him to the court of the prison, with the proviso that they should give him daily a piece of bread until all the bread in the city was spent. God had foretold the failure of Pharaoh's army to deliver Jerusalem when he told Ezekiel in Babylonia to put forth a parable and speak a parable to the house of Israel in the earlier stages of the captivity. This was the parable of the two eagles and the vine, Ezekiel 17, where the overthrow of Zedekiah is shown. And the ultimate deliverance and prosperity of Israel under Messiah is indicated by the figure of the topmost twig of the cedar, which in the overruling providence of God becomes a goodly cedar and affords shelter to all the fowls of the air. And Ezekiel also saw the sword of the Lord drawn against Jerusalem and foretold the overthrow of Zedekiah and the overturning of the kingdom of Israel, which should be no more until Messiah comes, whose right it is.